It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're so cynical. Did you find the deep cut version of Fogarty?
Is that Fogarty? This is him? Yeah. Sounds like a remake.
It's the Bayou legend.
It's a poor mix, coming in. Oh yeah.
Yep.
But they got to say,
good morning, fellas. Bob, I hope you realize, I'm sure you just motivated Cody Tapp to write a song. Not always a good idea, Bob.
I'm sorry.
Have a great day. Neil from Lone Chat.
I'm sorry, Neil. I didn't mean it that way.
There was a, I'm not moving it. It's moved six times. I haven't touched it.
Sorry.
That's what she said. No, someone says some other songs you'd have is Cheap Seats by Alabama. Banger. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. Nothing like the views from the cheap seats. And then someone says Batter Up by the St. Lunatics. Not sure you could play that at the stadium. But speaking of the stadium, this is how you know I have dyslexia. Because last night I was like, Brett Beach is moving? I was like, hold on, read that again. Bob Fesco, ladies and gentlemen, take it away.
So yesterday, we rolled out 119th and Nolm months ago, right? We've been talking about that as a potential spot, you know, for the Kansas City Royals. But for whatever reason, yesterday, it kind of went, you know, a little bit haywire yesterday. And people are starting to say, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about and things like that. So I want to back up a little bit yesterday and talk about, you know, we mentioned the 119th location and how that's getting close. And I mentioned there was the officials from the state of Kansas that have been meeting with the Royals and all that kind of stuff. And then yesterday, the Kansas City Business Journal, which is a very highbrow publication, has an article about the downtown baseball possibility. And I'll just read you from the article on the Business Journal and then get to where we are today on this. 3D Development leads the, quote, We Love KC Baseball campaign, which is shared concept renderings in support of a downtown stadium at Washington Square Park. Campaign representatives made a renewed public push for the initiative in recent weeks. Their website now reads, It's the bottom of the ninth, and we need to rally. In an email to the Business Journal on Monday, 3D Development said this, After creating an alternative for a downtown Royal Stadium location at Washington Square Park last January, we began to model and conceptualize that site and build a stronger case for the benefits once the Crossroads site vote failed. Beyond the idea, we worked with an investor group to assemble, through purchase contracts, some of the necessary and beneficial real estate beyond what we already controlled in the Freight House Village just to the north. We held the 2301 main contract for 8 months with extensions, yet due to delays in the stadium decision from the end of 2024 to an expected June-July 2025 and without commitment from the Royals, our group has chosen to terminate the purchase contracts. We are very concerned that the Kansas ballpark initiatives, and site have become very compelling, and we are at risk for missing this once in a half century opportunity to attract the Royals to downtown. We haven't given up, but the logistics and risk of helping assemble the real estate, given the continued state of uncertainty, was no longer tenable. It is a critical time right now for Kansas Cityans to show support for a Royal Stadium in downtown Kansas City. The alternative and reality is that Kansas is about to win this ballpark.
I mean,
that's an email from the development company that's trying to get the ballpark built at Washington Square Park. It is a critical time right now for Kansas Cityans to show support for a Royal Stadium in downtown Kansas City. The alternative and reality is that Kansas is about to win this ballpark.
Where do you... Okay, so, again, Blackenveach.
We'll get to that in just 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, when you read that, is that... So, okay. Do you think that a lot of this can get Missouri to rally? Like, do you
think... I think it is the bottom of the ninth, and we got two on, and...
And they need Alex Gordon to come up and
Is that possibility
still there?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I was told yesterday by somebody that is very dialed in that there is going to be no money this year from the state of Missouri for stadiums.
Okay.
That doesn't mean next year, but are teams willing to wait another year with an untenable situation when, again, you have the free money, and I use the term free money in Kansas, getting ready to expire? The Black and Veatch thing is interesting because apparently they had an all-staff meeting, if you will, right? They're an employee-owned company. Apparently, from what I'm told by a source, they met with their company yesterday and told their employees that they're thinking about and discussing moving their world headquarters from across the street from the Sprint campus to a new location somewhere else in the metro. They said in the meeting that there will be more information to come on this. Black and Veatch is literally across the street from the Sprint campus, okay? They've got a building there. Some of the building was built in the 70s. Some was built in the 90s. There's a lot of green space to the west of the Black and Veatch building. It's at 116th Street. 116th Street separates Black and Veatch from the Sprint campus. Black and Veatch is telling its employees, we're going to start to look for another location in the metro. Why? Because they probably don't want their employees to have to deal with what's going to be coming there with that ballpark traffic. So you have that yesterday. You have this article in the Kansas City Business Journal from the developers downtown saying the reality is that Kansas is about to win the ballpark. That's not Bob Fesco saying that. That's 3D Development telling the Kansas City Business Journal that Kansas is about to win the ballpark. And it looks like the surrounds may come out on top and not the core of the city in this time. And the city has only themselves to blame for poor leadership at this point in time to get to where we are, because John Sherman has always wanted to be downtown. I've always wanted to be downtown. And now people who are investing in that downtown area are saying time is running out, and it looks like Kansas may be the spot.
So, situation again, just to recap the big bullet points. People are moving away from what they thought was going to be the area because they know that they have a once in a, what they say, a half a century of a lifetime opportunity. So 50 years.
Yeah, 50 years. Yeah.
They're moving.
Yeah, they're kind of moving on. The people at 3D Development are saying, we're not dealing with this anymore because it looks like the Kansas incentives are too good. And then Black and Veatch is discussing moving their headquarters from across the street of the Sprint campus to somewhere else in the area. And I was told by a source yesterday that Missouri is starting to tell people, we have no money this year. For stadiums for any teams. And so do they wait another year? I don't know. But this is just, again, the information that's out there. This isn't me saying this is a done deal. This isn't me championing one side or the other. I've said on numerous occasions, I want downtown baseball. I was a big proponent of the Crossroads deal. I was a big proponent of the East Village site. I'm a big proponent of downtown baseball. But when you start to see surveys, I think in 2011, there was a survey that went out and said that only 41% of people in the area wanted downtown baseball. You looked at the vote that took place, only 42% of the people in that recent vote wanted downtown baseball. Downtown baseball just may not be a thing most Kansas Cityans want, and that's fine. That's why they're discussing other options potentially in the surrounds that could have this situation come to life and keep our ball club in our area, because that, at the end of the day, is what matters.
Being a Jackson County resident myself and voting yes on the new stadiums, how much of that, how much do you think of that result was kind of like an F you to everything? Like, oh, you, it was, because it wasn't like it was like 51-49.
No, it was a big, you know.
And it was over,
it was
by
like 60-40, you know?
How much of that is like, you know, going to be like maybe like an eyesore of where this all kind of ends up if it doesn't end up in Missouri or downtown?
I don't know. I think people have spoken and they said what they wanted. They didn't want the downtown ballpark. And so,
because people that hate this sort of stuff, we didn't have to be here if it would have voted yes.
Like, that's exactly right.
This is what happens when, what's the guy? You F around, you find out.
Right.
Like, you were given the opportunity, and now this is why this sort of stuff happens. And like,
yes,
where you report on these things that you've been told, it seems like the smoke is getting thicker.
Yeah.
It seems like there are flames that are getting ready to start, as like, you know, we say there's smoke, there's fire.
Right.
Which is the analogy we give, or the metaphor that we give towards like something developing. It seems like the smoke is getting really, really thick. And when you bring up Black and Veatch, you bring up these people that are like, we're moving on, and it seems like Kansas, we're in the bottom of the ninth. It just seems like we wouldn't have these continuing sort of conversations if there wasn't thicker smoke around the situation.
Right. And I mean, for a developer that's saying we're no longer interested in purchasing this property that would have made the downtown ballpark vision easier to get to, I think that's as much smoke as anything. And then again, I'll just continue to go back to their quote in the Kansas City Business Journal that came out yesterday after we started talking about this. Mm-hmm. It is a critical time right now for Kansas Cityans to show support for a Royal Stadium in downtown KC. The alternative and reality is that Kansas is about to win this ballpark.
Okay.
Again, that's not coming from me. That's the Kansas City Business Journal. That's a developer in downtown KC, Mo.
Yeah, you didn't just wake up and write that.
No, I did not. No.
It would have been a lot cooler if
it would have really been. Yeah, I know. Like, damn, that was eloquent.
That is Bob Fesco. I am Dusty Likens along with Mac Morey. Coming up on the other side, the day of reckoning is June 15th for this Royals player. Plus, we get into one word. And don't forget, Basketball Madness comes to Kansas City for the NAIA Men's College Basketball Championship March 20th through today at Municipal Auditorium. 16 teams, 15 games, one national champion. Bring the family for nonstop action and affordable tickets. Get yours today at NAIAHoops.com. Coming up, one word and the day of reckoning for one Royals player. We discuss that on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving along on this semi-charm kind of life. What a beautiful Tuesday morning here on 96.5 The Fan. Damn, glad to have you. I feel refreshed. Still don't know if I'm going to eat today. Probably shouldn't.
Probably one of those days where you're getting up there in age now where you eat like that on a Monday. By Thursday, you'll be feeling okay again.
Eating everything out of a tube the next couple days. By the way, real quickly, what a devastating evening it was last night. Juju?
Yeah, that sucks.
I feel, can I be real quick here? Kind of dirty play. Or is it bad luck? Like, what's the percentage?
I'll have to look more at the play.
Seems like the girl kind of carelessly, like, kind of ran into her, blocked her off, and then the knee gives out because of contact. Maybe I'm soft. If I am, I apologize, but I there's a lot of, because the USC players were pissed at the end of the game.
Of course, they saw their tournament chances go up in smoke.
Yeah, as Miss Juju goes off the, talk about a roller coaster of an event for her. She's sitting next to Jalen Daniels, and then Jalen Daniels' mom's like, absolutely not. And then the next time she's on TV, she's, from what we've heard from Shams, is that she has torn her ACL.
Yeah, that sucks. Out for the tournament, out for a year now, too.
Because she's going to the draft next year, right?
I believe so, right?
Oh, for sure.
Do you think she's still the number one overall pick? Do you take the chance?
I don't know. I mean, yes, talent-wise, she should be, but I don't know the way that works. I don't know if teams, like, I know teams in the NFL will go, well, we can't waste this year.
Yeah, but they did it. Buffalo did about a decade or so ago. There was a running back I remember out of Miami, and I can't remember who it was right now. I think had a blown Achilles, and Buffalo still took him in the first round.
Yikes!
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember exactly who it was. But I mean, she's one of the best women's basketball players out there. I think you take that chance.
I think you take it.
Detroit did it with Jameis Williams.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams. Yep.
Yeah, Jameson Williams like blew his ACL out of what, the national title game for Alabama?
Yeah, man.
And then they were like, we're still taking him like ninth overall.
They did. That's true.
And it's worked out.
It worked out.
Kind of.
When he plays and he's not being an idiot, yes.
Yeah, he's not gambling. He's not, getting in trouble.
Yeah, he's had a lot of issues. So has it worked out? No.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But I mean, if you can't, you know, do what's necessary to stay on the field.
Yeah, kind of a big year for him. He needs to have a clean, good, full season.
Yeah.
From the 816 to you are soft. That was barely a foul.
I'm watching this play again. Yeah, I think this is just
so I'm soft.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think you're soft. I don't think it's a foul. It's unlucky.
It's just a court sport injury.
Yep. She goes, tries to play defense, and she just completely trips. And
you can see that thing. Did you watch it?
Oh yeah,
nasty.
Don't watch it.
Willis McGahee is the guy that you're looking forward to.
Yeah, Willis McGahee. Yeah, he blew out his knee, and then Buffalo took him, and he sat a year. And then you know, I think he was a pretty good player ultimately in the NFL, right?
I still remember that injury in the championship game.
Yeah, and so like especially in the WNBA, where you're still a growing league, and you're still looking for that next superstar alongside Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you believe Juju Watkins is that player, then you take her, and you're willing to sit. You know, a year basically until she can come back and play because you believe she's going to be a dynamic force. But an ACL injury in basketball, how much more difficult is it to recover from that than football? Or can you even get back to the same level in basketball since, you know, your knees are a pretty big part of jumping and everything?
Especially
you know?
Like, you know, if Caitlin Clark's the Steph Curry, she's like the Kyrie Irving. All she does is herky jerky, handles, get past you, drive to the rack. So that's
it's going to be an interesting injury to see how she comes back from that. That sucks for her.
I would say it's probably tougher for football. Just because football is more of like a dig and cut, like you're digging into the ground and moving. Mm-hmm. Plus you have people like coming after you. Whereas like basketball, it's still tough because it's a cut sport. Like you're still like moving around and you're on a court. Cause I remember when I tore my ACL, my orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Dugan, was like, by the way, I probably wouldn't play basketball anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, why not? He goes, well, it's going to be a lot of stress on your leg. But then again, I'm not an athlete.
You're not an athlete.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's
still the same type of thing. Like, I think it's going to be a hard injury to come back from.
No doubt. Speaking of something that might be hard to come back from, that is the doubt of one player for the Royals. I think June 15th is the evaluation day for what you do moving forward with MJ Melendez. So some news that came out of the Royals camp yesterday with Vinny Pasquantino, grade 1+ injury to the hamstring. He says that he feels fine. He's going to do everything he can to be there for opening day. Mm-hmm. We said, well, why not Jack Caglione? And everybody says, Dusty, chill out. Even Vern, you know, always will bring you down. Maybe it's not Vinny who he might be replacing. Maybe this is why he needs outfield reps, because I think that at some point, and again, I am not a hater, but at some point you have to call it what it is with certain people on your team that aren't getting better or trying to improve. And MJ Melendez, every single year, we do the same exact thing. We go back and look at what he did in Omaha when he hit 40 home runs. And then we think, where is that going to eventually develop to the major league roster? It has not officially happened. Yes, there are certain moments where you see it and you're like, if he can do that more often, maybe Caglione is on this roster to either replace Hunter Renfro or MJ Melendez, and that's why he needs reps in the minors, is to get better at a corner outfield spot, because they know the bat's there. They don't have to worry about that. They just need to make sure he's good to go, that if they do pull the trigger and say, hey, it's just not working with MJ, it is what it is, we're going to bring somebody else up that can be more productive. Because honestly, MJ Melendez, for the most part of his career in the Royals lineup, has been an out almost every time he's in that spot.
Yeah, I think you're on to something. I just think by, you know, gathering enough information and watching the situation kind of unfold before us, I do think it's going to be what does a short leash mean to you guys? If I say there's a short leash on MJ, what does that mean? Does that mean a month?
I mean, June 15th.
I like June 15th. I think that's a good one. I think that's half the season, right? All of April, all of May, half of June. I think that's a little bit of a longer leash. If I were going to say a short leash, to me, it would be May 1st. I think that's kind of a short leash.
1 month.
And Denny will always say, like, by May 1st, you kind of know, you know, where you're going that season, right? You've got that first month under your belt. It's kind of a good sample size. You know, we're not rushing things. So I think May 1st is a short leash. I think May 15th, the leash gets a little bit longer and longer and longer as you get closer to that June 15th deadline. So let's just use June 15th, because I think that's a fair sample size. Give somebody 2.5 months. If they can't figure it out, then it's time to move
on.
And
it's been 3.5 years.
And it's right. It's not exactly like this is his first rodeo. 100%.
Plus, there's a dynamite athlete that is breathing down your neck.
And that's the thing right now. So there is a quote unquote option. And MJ Melendez, I think, is a guy that can be on the clock right now with the Royals. And I wouldn't be surprised if MJ Melendez was part of a trade at some point. And I think the Yankees, who haven't called about MJ, I don't think, but should, I think his swing would be great at Yankee Stadium. And I think he needs a change of scenery as much as the Royals need a change of scenery from him. But if CAG starts out hot, that leash will get shorter for MJ Melendez. And I was looking at something yesterday in The Athletic, and they were ranking all the big league lineups, and they said the Royals had the 13th best lineup in baseball. Like, okay, that's fair. But then they say about CAGs coming in and maybe in May or June and playing an outfield position. And so for me, with the money that's still invested in Hunter Renfroe, which is about, I think, the $15 million contract that they had for 2 years, so you got $7.5 million still invested in him. You don't have as much invested in MJ. I think MJ could be the odd guy out. If he doesn't get off to a hot start, I think that's where you start to hear the rumblings and people starting to discuss whether or not it's time for Jack Caglione to come up. So if MJ starts off hot, it may be a little bit longer for Jack Caglione to get up here. But if MJ starts out slow, I think that's the guy you got to look at to be moved for Jack Caglione if he does what they need him to do in the minors.
The reason why I think that you could see a Caglione signing this year earlier than later is because there are three players that we have mentioned in this conversation that all have him kind of in their rearview mirror. Vinny Pasquantino is obvious, mm-hmm. right? Like the injuries, he's helped him try to develop his first base talent. He's got the bat. We know that's there. So as long as Vinny can stay healthy, that's not an issue. It's not a production thing for Vinny, right? Hunter Renfroe's under a cheap contract. But again, if he's an automatic out and he's in right field and he's not getting it done, then it's like, okay, we got to do something.
Right.
And how much more can this kid accomplish lower than, you know, Major League Baseball? Because he's obviously starting out in Arkansas. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be in Double A.
Right.
Then he's going to move up to Triple A, depending on how fast that goes. If that goes fast, you know, that's going to.
And if he's up at Triple A before May.
I mean, then, you know, you can start looking at that. And then you look at Melendez, who's, you know, every year, you know, and I brought this up, you know, a few weeks back, like if we have the same energy for, you know, Caglione, it's just, you know, he's hitting off non-pitching in the major leagues. Like he's not hitting off starting pitching to Major League Baseball players. But yet we have the same conversation, but the opposite side of effect, talking out of both sides of their mouth, like, boy, MJ just looks really good this spring. He looks really, you know, locked in. He's changed his swing. It's like he's hitting the same pitching. So, like, where's the give and the take? Like, you can't take away everything that Caglione's done because it's not Major League pitching.
Right.
Just like you can't give all the accolades to MJ Melendez in the spring training, you know, numbers when it's like, and again, I've talked to several people within the organization. Like, they say that, you know, hey, spring training numbers are for the birds. Like, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's like, well, the Chiefs went 0-4 in preseason. Good luck this season.
Right.
Super Bowl appearance.
Right.
And it's like, you know, yeah, I understand that. But, like, you can't have, you know, different energies when it comes to, well, MJ looks like he's really hitting the cover off the ball in spring. And then it's like, well, Cags is, but they're not professional pitchers. Like,
which is it?
You know, which one is it? So,
well, it works to whatever narrative you want to push, Dusty. You know,
but I mean, I think that there is some sort of truth in that because every year I think we do this, like, who's the Chiefs player that everyone's going to, you know, be, you know, not supportive or not behind?
Right.
Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Mecole Hardman, whoever that name may have been, Sammy Watkins, maybe at some point in time because of injuries and, you know, not being able to get out there and produce. I think MJ is that Royals player. I think this year, I think the magnifying glass is on MJ Melendez because it's like, look, dude, like your time is up. Like you're supposed to be this, you know, plug in the middle of the lineup hitting, you know, sixth or fifth or somewhere around there to give some sort of production in the offensive side of things. Your glove is mid to above average in left field. You kind of developed that. But again, like you're this guy that was drafted and supposed to be this, you know, solid bat in the lineup. And I'm not saying he's got to go out there and hit 35 home runs and hit 265.
No, but he can't be an automatic out in the outfield.
But you can't hit below the Mendoza line.
Right.
And you can't be one of those guys where it's like, yeah, he was really good for 2 weeks and then he just disappears for a month.
Right.
That's just what you cannot have because what do we talk about? This team is a playoff team and wants to be productive.
Right.
You cannot have four automatic outs in your lineup.
No.
Six, seven, eight, nine.
No, you can't. And now you have a guy that's pushing MJ Melendez, right? You have a guy that's pushing Hunter Renfroe. And you hope by the fact that these guys now know that their replacement is lurking in Double A and potentially Triple A before, you know, we reach May 1st, that maybe it fuels their fire a little bit. And maybe MJ does have that good season that everybody's, you know, kind of wanting. But I can feel confident in saying I think the leash is going to be short to a little bit mid with MJ Melendez. And if he doesn't produce, they can't waste time hoping that somebody produces.
No doubt about it. It is 7:30. It is time to get to one word. Mr. Mac Morey, take it away.
There we go. Perfect.
Yep.
A little delay for you. One word. One word on the Kansas Royals.
Look, man, I don't care what side of the state line they're on. As long as they stay in Kansas City in the metro area, that's all I care about. But one word would be cool.
One word on the Kansas City Royals, man. This is
Kansas
tough.
Royals.
Oh, said. Kansas Royals.
Yeah, specifically.
Local.
Yeah.
I mean, they're here. I get it. There's some Missourians that are damn proud of Missouri that said, once they go to Kansas, I'm out. Okay.
Well, I mean, if you have to give us your name, we'll turn it over to the ownership group and let them know that you're going to be you're yeah. banning yourself like it's a casino, you know?
No, new, heartbreaking a little bit yeah. because I'm a, you know, I'm a Missouri resident my whole life. I know exactly how to get to the stadium. Like yesterday, I'm like, which way do I want to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I live in my house in Lee Summit. I'm like, I get to go a new way. I could take, you know, 350 from Raytown, which is just consistently being under construction. But yeah, I don't know. It would be new, but they're still local.
One word on, I would choose bittersweet because I'm kind of with you. There's really good things about it, and there's something like, mm-hmm. make you sad.
Sweet.
Yeah. One word on, that's one word. One word on Jameis to the Giants.
Awesome.
Alive. Hey, why not? Jameis has done well with crappy teams and made them somehow relevant because of who he is, right? Cleveland. We were watching Thursday Night Football last year.
Yeah, because of Jameis.
Yeah, it was Thursday. Yeah, it was a snow game. But more importantly, it was Jameis Winston. And he delivered. He beat Pittsburgh. He did snow angels, slid in the snow, gave us the, you know, the horses are here, you know, as God is my witness. Jameis Winston, entertaining, even more so in New York. They are going to absolutely hate him. Or they're going to absolutely love him.
I think it's going to be so much fun to see him on that stage and to see what he can do. Like, if he wins in New York or just has a little bit of success in New York and doesn't throw as many interceptions, he's going to be a star this year, man. I'm excited.
And he's one of those guys that I don't think the New York media is going to, like, cripple him. I think he's just going to, like, be himself, and he doesn't care what they say.
Exactly. And I think he's getting a lot of experience with that. We saw him at the Super Bowl. Now he's working with Kay Adams and doing all that kind of stuff. Like, he's going to be a media darling in New York. He's going to be awesome.
Did you see those Jameis in the Wild videos?
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's so funny. Good. He's just hysterical.
Here's the thing. I'll call my shot way ahead of time. He will be in a booth when he calls it a quit. In the NFL.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, but I think a game day booth is too restrictive for him. I think he's the guy you send out in the field to let him be Jameis Winston.
That's fair. He could be like a Booger McFarlane.
Yeah, yeah, but even more
he'd be
so.
Way better than
Booger. Like he is so entertaining, and
it's natural,
right?
So it's just
not,
who he is.
It's
it is.
Just, it's not like he's faking it,
right?
No, we met him. I mean, he really is that guy.
He's that guy.
It's awesome.
Like, he's one of those guys. If you aren't smiling and loving that guy up, that's on you,
yeah, dude,
man.
Seriously,
he's just a fun loving, awesome guy that you set foot. I can see why he's had success in his career, right? I know not great wins in the NFL. But in college and in the pros, to be a quarterback at that level, people gravitate towards that guy. That guy's a leader.
He is.
Now stop throwing interceptions. Yes, but other than that, like, it's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, he needs to have the Lord keep delivering him from his pick sixes.
That's right.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
I do think for Jameis, it's kind of nice. I think you brought this up a few weeks ago, Bob. It feels like the expectations for the Giants are rather low. It seems like the fans know that this year is kind of a rebuild year. So they're not like, oh, we're not going to win 10 games. They'll just have fun. Gives them something to root for.
Yeah.
What about another quarterback? This one we don't like as much. Aaron Rodgers, little finger. One word on him not deciding where he's playing yet.
Narcissist.
What's the one word to describe this?
Tiring.
Obvious. I mean, we knew this was going to happen, right?
He's just going to milk it.
This is week three of free agency.
And then Wednesday night before the draft starts on Thursday, he'll decide to go to Minnesota.
Right.
Because Rob Brenton nailed it on that tweet.
He did.
It was
Rob
a great
nailed
tweet.
It, yeah.
When he was like, you know, just in case anybody wants to know where Aaron Rodgers goes, he'll do an announcement at 11:05 on the first before the first tip of the March Madness tournament.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of think it's going to be in these next 2 days, but if it wasn't these last 3 weeks,
why
then
the
I don't
next
know.
2 days?
Why?
Because there's nothing happening.
But see,
no sports are on.
Yeah, but there are. You got the Sweet 16 coming up.
And on Thursday. That's why if you do it today or tomorrow, you've got 48 hours of, hey, this is all me, 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 me.
There's a good reasoning for that, right? Like, really good.
Should be good.
But, I mean, I feel like he likes to upstage stuff, man.
Yeah. Really? You don't say. Yeah. Like, that's what's funny, because, like,
so you could have these 2 days to yourself, or you could do it on Thursday and then upstage the NCAA tournament.
No, I feel that. Like, isn't it always like the Yankees play at 11 o'clock our time on opening day?
It seems like it, yeah.
Seems to be that way. So, like, let's see, 10:45 on Thursday before they play?
There you go. Yeah, right before opening, because opening day is Thursday as well. Mm-hmm. NCAA tournament's back in action on Thursday. So everybody's going to be talking about that.
So the Yankees will play at 2:05 our time. They host the Brewers.
Okay.
So 2 o'clock.
Skankies.
2 o'clock Central Time is when you think that maybe Aaron Rodgers will announce.
Yeah, there you go. Right Love before it. Opening day.
Love it.
Here's the first pitch, and Minnesota season is over.
I do hope he goes to the Vikings. I really do. One word on this audio from Michael Irvin talking about the Cincinnati Bengals.
If you got 100 snap game, you can play 99 plays great. If you give up 1 point, and you have 0 points, you lose that game. Points win championship. So let's get real. And you got your two wide receivers, and you know you have a quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks. Let's maximize the opportunity to get points. And we can find people to put together a pretty good defense. But if the other team got to put up 35 points a game, you got a pretty good shot at winning.
The Bengals have the 6th best odds right now on FanDuel, plus 1,700 to win the Super Bowl. Can they win the Super Bowl with what's going on with that team? You like them?
Absolutely. They got to the Super Bowl with what we do, the worst offensive line to ever make it to the Super Bowl because they had those beasts.
What do you think about that? Michael Irving, they are a Super Bowl contender. He says points win championships, not defense.
Do you know how hard it is to score 40 a game? Ask Patrick Mahomes 2018. I think there's a ceiling there. I don't think you can win in the playoffs if you don't have a defense. The Chiefs looked at that as well. The first year Patrick Mahomes put up the most points and most yards ever in his career, they didn't get to the Super Bowl. You know why? Because they couldn't stop anybody.
Bottom five defense.
Yeah, bad defense. So what do? They revamped the defense and they went on a run. So, Michael Irvin, I appreciate you, you know, looking out for the wide receivers and all, but you got to have a defense if you want. Defense wins championships.
I will say hopeful, you know. Maybe. I mean, I get it. Like, Cincinnati, you talk about retaining. They've retained everybody except maybe the most important player outside of Jamar Chase on their team. Trey Anderson's still out there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So is Keenan Allen. So is Stephon Diggs, among others. But, yeah, I mean, Michael Irvin's hopeful. I mean, I think for the Chiefs' sake, I think you want the Bengals to be good. For the NFL's sake, you want the Bengals to be good.
Sure, sure.
A lot of superstar power over there. So, yeah.
But it's a fun rival, too, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, Michael Irvin, you know, hyperbolic, I guess you could say as well. Like, he's always had those takes.
Yeah, but look at his teams. They had good defenses when he played 30 years ago in Dallas when they were last relevant.
Great defense.
And maybe one of the greatest offensive lines.
Oh, yeah. I mean, exactly.
Like, it's not undersettled that. Like, Emmitt Smith had it nice.
Yeah.
He was good. I'm not taking anything away from Emmitt.
Of course.
But, like, boy, he had like a Priest Holmes style line before they were even cool.
Imagine if, you know, a guy like Barry Sanders had that offensive line. He may still be playing.
No doubt about it. Royals opening day in 2 days. One more game. I guess you kind of count it as spring training, but spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Park & Go, KC's premier airport parking destination. Fesco's back, by the way. We haven't mentioned yet. It's a Tuesday. So Fesco's Tuesday threesome comes up on the other side. Why we bring back Jameis Winston and a threesome? Who knows? You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at TheFan965, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Mount up, baby. Mount up. As we keep grinding through this wonderful Tuesday. Going to be a great Tuesday. Some people are going to play golf. Some people are going to nap. And some people are going to, well, do their normal Tuesday thing.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with it.
Nah.
Live your life, you know?
You got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
You got to take care of business. It's healthy. It's fun.
Business.
Enjoyable.
Talked a little bit about the NCAA tournament, which will continue Thursday, which I cannot wait because then it makes things more viewable at night. I know there's the NBA. I apologize for that. I know
I apologize for the NBA a lot, too.
Right. No, just hacking in people's ears.
Sorry about the NBA being here.
Yeah. I wish the NBA was here.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
They're going to play at 135th at Metcalf.
Yeah. They should be able to do an arena. By the time we get the NBA, it's going to be time for a new arena.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
How dare you? But no, tournament coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
That's funny. They're going to be at 135th and Metcalf.
Yeah.
Stone's throw for me. Like, sign me up.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. I was talking to Josh yesterday, right? And he goes, so this 119th and Nall location, he goes, I hate to be this guy. He goes, I live too close to drive. Can we ride our bikes?
Oh, my God. Just buy awesome mopeds and be, Lloyd, yeah, be Harry and Lloyd.
Yeah. We got the scooters that the kids needed to have, and now they, you know, they're starting to drive, so the scooters are kind of out. Take the scooter. I don't care. Right down 119th Street.
Yeah. Just when I thought you couldn't do anything more stupid, you completely redeem yourself. But no, don't forget, Thursday's opening day. Sellout crowd, can't wait. Friday, Hollywood Casino, March 28th, right?
Yep.
We're all going to be there. Vern's going to be there. Open forum roundtable with Michael Massey and Kyle Isbell from 6 to 7:30 at Hollywood Casino.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to be there.
Can't wait.
Yep. I gotta put a limitation on my blackjack spending, but I'm going to definitely try to do that. Plus, there'll be the tournament being going on. Lots of fun to be had. Royals players, according to Vern, might be, you know, roaming the crowds. And then everybody from 96.5 The Fan will be there.
That's right.
And we'll be able to, you know, talk to you guys. But more importantly is that it's going to be
Cody buying.
We should bring that up. Like, you gonna open it up?
Yeah.
You know, it's payday today. It technically is payday Friday.
Friday is payday.
Friday. Yeah. Oh,
it's
right.
The nice one.
Yeah. 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 That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got it on the calendar. I'm like, yes.
Yeah,
can we make it? Can we make it? Oh, gosh. I can only eat rice cakes. And you know, shut up. You just ate a ton of food. But no, it
saved money yesterday.
Yeah.
Your cholesterol may have gone through the roof, but by God, you saved $20.
And lost 20 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We do it for you. Yeah. I got to pull a sausage. In my heart. But here we go. It is a two-state threesome. I'm still trying to figure out what we do here, but Bob, this is your this is your bit.
I'm gonna throw three things out here. You just gotta pick one. That's all. It's pretty simple. I got In-N-Out. I got baseball.
Ooh, okay.
And I got Jameis Winston.
Ooh.
Which one you taking?
Gosh.
This is
three.
Easy for me.
It's easy. I figured your answer.
I've had baseball.
Okay.
Oh.
Right? Like, I've been around it a lot.
Yeah, I'm surprised at this. So
I'm already surprised.
I've had Jameis Winston.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah.
I was shoulder to shoulder with Winston at the Super Bowl. We were talking to him. We were having a conversation while we were waiting to get into the stadium.
Yeah. Pretty dope.
It was cool. It was a good dude. I ain't ever had In-N-Out.
Okay.
And I'm envious. Like, I want the, I mean, I know I can go to Third Street Social and get the animal style burger.
Right. But it's not the same as, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I can go get a spicy chicken at Casey's.
Right.
It ain't the one at Chick-fil-A.
Nope.
Right? You can get breakfast pizza at Quick Trip. It's not
Casey's
breakfast pizza. I never had In-N-Out. So I gotta have the joy of, and I love baseball, right? Like my heart is not like a normal heart. It's got seams on it.
Those are called veins.
No, they're seams, dude. They're red and blue, just like your blood.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But no, I've never had In-N-Out, and I will be that person that when the lady in the black leather jacket's doing her on the street interviews, I'd be the first person in and out line ready to buy some food.
You get it. You line up.
Because I've never had it before.
Yeah, it's true. And it's good.
It's worth it.
But then I'm also contradicting because I've never had Whataburger still.
You're not missing anything.
They say get the Dr. Pepper frozen shake or whatever it is, or the frozen Dr. Pepper, and just try it. And then everybody's like,
I enjoy Whataburger spicy ketchup. I keep that in the house. I love their spicy ketchup.
Do they sell it in like bottle form?
Yeah, you can buy it at Hy-Vee.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. It is really good.
It's good. It's amazing ketchup.
Yeah.
And I went there for one of our like three lunches when I was out with my friend Gene, and we went to Whataburger, and they come around with the tray of ketchup. They limit you to one ketchup, and which is fine. That's all you really need. You're not wasting the ketchup. But it just didn't hit, man. It just didn't. Like,
damn. Yeah.
But their breakfast is—I love their breakfast tacos. Good. Their chicken biscuit with the honey butter is phenomenal. I wish they served breakfast all day at Whataburger.
They have a banana pudding shake that's pretty good.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Banana pudding has become hot lately.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, like, it's great.
Yeah.
It's gas. Yeah.
But, like, it's starting to be popular. You're seeing it everywhere. That's true, Jerry yeah. Anselmo told me they're serving it to him now at the home. It's
but
great.
You gotta have, Jerry, shout out. You gotta have the vanilla wafers in it.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
If it doesn't have the vanilla wafers in it, I send it back.
Like an old man sending back soup in a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going? In-N-Out, baseball, nowhere. Or Jameis Winston?
Yeah, he's an American treasure, man. You know, he makes the football season even better, which somehow, you know, I didn't even think was possible. So let me go with Jameis Winston. You know, it's rare that you find a guy who can somehow fail so much, but also succeed at the same time. Jameis has found the
fail
perfect balance.
Fail as a person and then succeed as a person.
Well, he failed when he stole the crab legs from Kroger, right?
And supposedly, like, harassed an Uber driver.
Yeah, allegedly,
and stood on top of a table and said a derogatory phrase.
He's had a couple moments.
Yeah.
He's had a few is what we call that. Not a couple. We call that a few.
Yeah, and I was speaking really to his, but yeah, you think that failure's off the field, success is on
but
the field.
He's grown,
failure's
on, right? Yep. And it's okay to say this guy made mistakes, but he's learned and he's grown from his mistakes, right? I think that's okay to accept that. Like Michael Vick made a big mistake. He learned from his mistake. Yeah. He came back from his mistake. Like,
do we put Gruden in that category yet, or do we still need some time on Jay Gruden?
I mean, I think he's kind of in that category now. Like, I think he's understood he's made mistakes.
Now, he's on a demographic that is solely watched by a certain percentage of people. Like, obviously, he's with Barstool Sports. Either love him or you hate him.
Right.
There's really no in-between. And they've kind of used him as this new football guy. But, like, I didn't know if, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
I think fans who need a coach are very, very, very okay with saying John Gruden's fine.
Yeah, part of me is really skeptical on that whole thing from the NFL. Kind of felt like he was a scapegoat, and they kind of blackballed him away. I don't know how much all that is really true about his character. You know, I don't know. I can only saw what I read. But yeah. I know we met that guy, and I know everyone on the street, no matter if you were woman, tall, short, black, white, were loving John Gruden, and he seemed like a really good guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, probably a second chance.
And Jameis was riding the carriages in New Orleans.
I mean,
yes.
Seriously, yeah, like that guy. And that's why I'm going with Jameis Winston,
ding,
too.
Ding, ding.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, heck, I'm excited to watch him play for the Giants.
Let's go, dude.
Like, it gives you a reason to watch.
Yes. I hope he starts. He should start.
Yeah. Depends on what they do in the draft, right? Even with the Shador
Sanders.
That's
what I'm saying. Even if you draft, come on.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Yeah. Shedeur Sanders, number 3 overall to the Giants, Mike Tannenbaum, on the TV right now.
Really? Okay, there it is.
Well, yep. I mean, so well, that's official because Tannenbaum. Max, like, well, there it is. Yep.
I mean, I trust Tannenbaum more than I trust Kuiper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kuiper's been wrong a lot lately.
Who the hell is Mel Kuiper? That's what that Indianapolis GM said.
That's one of the best, yeah. So good.
Do you guys get the reference when I say if I don't get it, I send it back?
I don't think so.
It's from The Office. When he goes out to eat with the Italian,
he thinks
he's an Italian mob boss.
Yes. Yes, 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 I do.
Because Blake Schneider's loyal listener, worker here, he's like, are they understanding the reference if I send it back? So I had to make sure.
No, I'm glad you did.
Because Bob hit us with
a Seinfeld, I love The Office.
Reference yesterday with the muffin top.
I just hit him with another Seinfeld reference.
And we just flew by. So here we are. Relatable, but not here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, it is a fan of the show, Frank Caliendo. What impersonation does he have cooked up his sleeve this go around? He comes up next, and Mac has to clear the air between their beef.
I know.
96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.